If we could take our, we'll take our Bibles. I nearly said unfortunately, sounds terrible. But I'm going to read for the King James Version, so it may be different to what you've got. So you just have to bear with us and follow as best you can. But I nearly said unfortunately. Didn't mean that at all. What I'm going to do initially, if we go to Isaiah 44, and I used to hate it as a child, where people would read a passage and then sort of ask for the link or try to explain it afterwards. So I'm going to tell you what I'm looking for and what we're looking at as we go, or before I read it. I want to highlight on the word Redeemer, which it says in my version. I don't know if it does in yours, but it says the word Redeemer, and also it's stressing that there's one God. There's one God. So if we go to Isaiah 44, and the little title in my Bible says the folly of idolatry, and it's concerning idolatry, the latter part of the chapter. But we'll go to verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. You notice the two differences there. There's a triune Godhead, and you've got the Lord, the King, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. And it goes on to say, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And who as I shall call and shall declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people? And the things that are coming and the things that shall come, let them show unto them. Verse 8, fear ye not, neither be thee afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. And this is the line again. Is there a God beside me? With a question mark. Yea, there is no God. I know not any. So the bit I just want to stress in that is there is one God. And also the word Redeemer. You picked that up as well, hopefully, the word Redeemer. But that's not our actual main portions. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 1, if I can, please, now. Hebrews chapter 1. The very first couple of verses of Hebrews chapter 1. It says, God, the one that we've just read about, that there is no other, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, I'd like to take you to a last reading, back in Numbers. And it's from this passage, really, we're going to focus on mainly this evening. And from this, and to be honest, it's a gospel message this afternoon. I like to define what message we're here. Obviously, the gospel encourages us and refreshes all of us, even if we're believers. But it's a gospel message here this afternoon. So, Numbers chapter 12. Story that doesn't get read, perhaps, very often. Then you're going to tell me you had it last week or something in a minute. Numbers and chapter 12. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman which he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three into the tabernacle of congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak to him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, "Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not this sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead of the womb, the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of the mother's womb." And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee." And the Lord said unto Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again." And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Haran. And the Lord will bless the reading of his word. So Hebrews chapter 1, in those verses there, in those couple of verses there, obviously we read back in Isaiah 44 concerning there's one God. And here we're talking about this God in Hebrews in chapter 1. It says, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners," obviously you've got it different if you have a different version, but basically in various times and in different ways, he spoke to us in times past, or spoke to the fathers in times past, using the prophets. And we've got that in our Old Testament, haven't we? All the prophets that we find in the Old Testament. But verse 2 is very important. "Hath in these last days," and that's the last 2,000 years, "had in these last days," and they're coming, they're getting closer, aren't they? They're whittling down. "In these last days has spoken unto us by his Son." And that's none other than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, "whom hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom he made the worlds." That one that was with him in glory, who came to this earth, his Son. He has spoken to us by his Son in these latter days. But concerning verse 1, "God, who at different times and in different ways spoke to us by the fathers and the prophets," an example of that is what we read. And if we go to that now, if we go to back to Numbers, we're going to go through these few verses. And we're going to see that statement here, one of the evidences or one of the proofs that God did talk to us through the prophets of the Old Testament, or spoke to his people, more so, obviously, the Israelites and so on. So what we have in verse 1 of chapter 12, now I'm hoping you know a little bit about Moses. I mean, I hope that even the world tends to know a bit about Moses. They make movies and, is it Prince? Thank you. Yeah, Prince of Egypt. I think you played that here once years ago. Prince of Egypt, you know, Disney and so on. Obviously, they all know and if anybody's been anywhere near a baby at any time, they have the Moses baskets, don't they? So, you know, we've even named a basket. We know the story of Moses, hopefully, that obviously all his peers were being executed and killed, and obviously he was raised up and saved, preserved by God for a purpose. And he was preserved there in the bulrushes. And who was looking over him? His older sister, which we sort of work out must be Miriam, who we have here. And obviously Aaron, his brother as well. So his siblings, his kin. All right, his kin. So here we have this now, that he'd obviously, God had raised him up and had used him to bring the children of Israel out from persecution of Egypt and so on. Hopefully you know that story pretty well, but we're going to get the gospel from this little part of this story. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. They were murmuring about Moses because of an Ethiopian woman that he had married. Now, we don't know an awful lot, and we know he had another wife, and there again, Zipporah, I think it was. Whether it was at the same time or after, I don't know. Some of you scholars will probably sort me out on that. But at the end of the day, an Ethiopian woman seemed to be the problem where they became jealous. Perhaps it was because it was an outsider coming in. And perhaps there we have a picture again of the scribes and the Pharisees in the New Testament not wanting the gospel to go to the Gentiles, not wanting anybody else to be brought in. I don't know what the motivation was, but they were not happy about Moses marrying this Ethiopian woman, because he had married an Ethiopian woman, as it goes on to say. And how this changed then, Miriam and Aaron then murmur against him. And in verse 2, it says, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? They started saying between themselves, because it was the three of them, they were sort of saying, well, God doesn't just use Moses to speak to us and to guide the people. He speaks through us as well. Now, he'd spoken to them, but not necessarily through them. And here they are whinging and diminishing and undermining Moses. They're having a little bit of backstabbing. They're rejecting him, really speaking, because he's brought someone else, perhaps, into their what they thought was a cozy sort of relationship. I don't know. You can read into that what you like. But it does give me a bit of a picture of the Gentiles and the Jews, and obviously the gospel was for everybody. But anyway, I'm not going to go into that. But now we see in verse 3, a little turn the attention on Moses for a moment. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Now I hope you can see the picture here I'm starting to draw. Moses can be a picture of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see that statement there. He was meek above all the men which are upon the face of the earth. Here we have a little picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, obviously hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus Christ came. It was God's man that he had raised up. And this man was meek. So now you get the picture. We're talking about a person as a foreshadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, verse 4, and the Lord spoke suddenly unto Moses, unto Aaron, and unto Miriam. And they came out unto the tabernacle, unto the meeting place, basically, at the tabernacle. So they came out. Now, they, which is a good thing, they listened and they did come, which was good. They responded. Now, I don't know if Miriam and Aaron would have come thinking, yeah, see, he does want to talk to us as well. I don't know if that was their approach, or whether they thought, oh, God wants to speak with us. I'm not sure how they approached, but they came, all three. They did respond. They did listen. And they came, and the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. Now, he singled out Aaron and Miriam now, and they both came forth. There again, they came forth. They listened. God called. They listened. How often does God call and we don't listen? But maybe they approached God because they thought, he's going to use us instead of Moses. I don't know. But even so, they did what God said and they came. Now this is God, and I say this reverently, but you can almost see God wagging his finger at them. He says, now hear my words. If there be a prophet among you, and this is what we read in Hebrew, he said, if there be a prophet among you, I will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. What do we read? God, who at different times, in different ways, spoke to his prophets. Well, here we have God actually saying it here, very clearly in the Old Testament. He said, I will make myself known to him, and I will speak to him in a vision or a dream. However, my servant Moses is not so. He was different. He was different to the other prophets. He said, he is faithful in all mine house. Do you see another picture there of the person of the Lord Jesus? He is faithful. We've just read that he's meekest in all the earth. We've now just read that he is faithful in all my house. It's almost, how dare you speak against my man? And you liken that to the Lord Jesus Christ? You liken that to the world at large today? How dare they speak and how dare they blaspheme the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? He said in verse 8, he said, with him I will speak mouth to mouth. I will speak mouth to mouth. Do you think back in Exodus 33, 34, when the Lord Moses came down off Mount Sinai? His face shone, didn't it? His face glowed. Now, I don't want to get into all the mechanics of God is spirit, and then on another account he saw the rear parts of God, and he couldn't see God face to face, and all that sort of. I can't get into all of that, but basically he was in the presence of God, and his face shone or absorbed. It was so bright he had to veil it, didn't he? A man that was in communion with God. You think about what happened at the Lord's baptism and on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son. One that was in communion with the Father. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him, he goes on to say, doesn't he? Hear ye him. So here we have this picture. He said, I'll speak to him plainly, not in riddles or dark speeches or however maybe your version would put it, but I'll speak to him clearly. That it'll be a clear communion between us. On that basis, he says, were you not afraid to speak against Moses? At the end of verse 8, were you not afraid to speak against my servant? Knowing that we have this relationship, are you not afraid? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. He went. What have we just witnessed? God making it very clear to Aaron and Miriam that they had done wrong. He had pointed out, what was the term? That they were sinners. That they had sinned against him and against his man. And God, I would say mercifully, pointed it out to them. He could have not pointed it out to them and just judged them, couldn't he? But he pointed it out to them. But what did he then do? He departed. Do you know, when you're witnessing and you're talking to, if you're a believer here and you're talking to people, they say, where is God today? Where is God? Well, in this situation, God has pointed it out in the Old Testament very clearly. He gave us the law. Well, he gave it to Israel, but we can use that as a metering stick to say we've all failed. He's told us clearly we're sinners. But in some ways, he is silent. He departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And look what happened. It says in my Bible, Miriam became leprous. But the word became in my first Bible is in italics. That means it isn't in the original. So if you just read it, Miriam was leprous. Now, with leprosy, when you look through Scripture, it's often affiliated with sin. It's a disease. It's a disease that will finish you off. And it just says here that Miriam was leprous, white as snow. To me, I think as God departed, I think in a way, just the way it's worded here, it just became apparent. Her sin became apparent. I don't think it was a punishment. I just think it was something to show us symbolically that it was apparent that she was doomed. that she was doomed. Now, you might ask the question, why didn't Aaron have the leprosy as we go through the story? Look, for this afternoon, you'll see that Aaron was just as burdened about this as I'm sure Miriam was. So look at this sin on both of them. But I can't go into it now, but a technicality concerning Aaron, and he was the high priest, there was reasons why he wouldn't have ended up having leprosy. But we'll just look at it today, if we can, that it's both of them are seeing the consequences of their sin. And the anger of the Lord was kindled, and he departed, in verse 10, and the cloud departed, and she was leprous, and Aaron beheld it. And now look what happens in verse 11. And Aaron went to God and said, God. No, he didn't, did he? If you look at the verse, he doesn't go to God. He goes to his man. He goes to Moses. It says, and Aaron goes unto Moses, and he says, alas, and he calls him Lord here. I know it's a small L, but you get the picture. He says, alas, my Lord, to Moses. He knew that Moses was the one that could communicate with God. And he says, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us. Lay not the sin, which was their sin. It was their wrongdoing, but he said, lay it not upon us, wherein we have done foolishly. Look at the attitude now from the difference of the first verse. They realized they were sinners. They realized they were in desperate need. They could physically see the need because she had leprosy as well. But they realized they needed forgiveness. That's what we need to understand. If we don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we've got to realize that we're in desperate need of the Saviour. And he said, lay not this sin. And he went to Moses. And he said, let her not be as one dead from the womb. And basically, we are spiritually dead. If we go to Ephesians 2, we'll see that. We were dead in trespasses and sins. And then you come to verse 13. This meek Moses, this humble Moses that we read, look what he does. With perhaps authority, he cried unto the Lord. He cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now. It's as clear as that in my version. Heal her now, God, I beseech thee. Now, Moses could have turned round and said, no, you were taking the mick. You were undermining my authority. Poof. No, he didn't. He didn't. Why didn't he? He did exactly what he was asked. He went and he pleaded for them. Why? Because it was his siblings. Why? Because it was his kinsfolk. You go to the book of Ruth, and what do we read there? Our kinsman redeemer. The Lord Jesus was a man, is a man. And he understands. He's the one, and I say it reverently again, he's the one on the ground. He understands and he pleads on our behalf, even though they were mocking him. He didn't have an argument with Aaron, did he? He said, no, no, he turned. And he beseeches God and he says, heal her now, because it was his kinsfolk. Because it was his kinsfolk, it was his siblings. I beseech thee now, heal her now. And he had the Lord's ear. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Put her outside the camp for 7 days, and she can be received in again. Now, we didn't read that the leprosy had gone, but I think the leprosy was not an issue anymore. So we can take it that it had gone. It had been dealt with. Okay, you say, well, why the 7 days and so on? I mean, people, when we get saved down here and we come to know, we see our need and we come in humility and realize that we're sinners and we've sinned against God and we've sinned against his man, the Lord Jesus Christ, you might be in a situation where there's consequences down here. Maybe You know, you've got to go to court. Maybe you're in prison. Maybe you have an illness. There's the consequences of sin, and we have to live those out. She had to live this out here, but the leprosy had gone. And it must have been embarrassing and very shameful for her, because you read in verse 15 that all the camp waited. We're talking probably millions, but hundreds of thousands of people. The camp didn't move on until Miriam had done this time. They all knew about it, but I don't think Miriam cared. I think her and Aaron realized that they had mocked God's man, Moses, the one who had been raised up, their kinsman as well. And really speaking, the picture here is a lovely picture of the gospel, but it falls short. As with all Old Testament characters, it falls short. Now, Aaron's job would have been in the priesthood, which would have been dealing with the sacrifices. So, not to go too deep, as it were, but this sin would have had to be dealt with a sacrifice. There were sacrifices that were offered all the time in the tabernacle and so forth. So a sacrifice would have been offered for this. But this is where this falls short, because we don't read of that aspect of it. But when we come to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is not only our prophet, God's man, but he is our priest. See, Aaron was the priest. He is our priest, and also he is our king. He's our prophet, he's our priest, and he's our king. That means he made an offering. Now, in that very first scripture at the beginning, we read the word redeemer. He's our redeemer. And redeemer means it either means to compensate for faults, or, our mouth's getting dry, or it means to buy or to buy back with a cost and with a price. And you see, Moses wasn't the redeemer, but the Lord Jesus Christ is the redeemer. He's the one who bought us back with a price. And like Moses, we go to that scripture, there is one mediator. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And you imagine him there upon the cross at Calvary. He was offering himself there as our redeemer. He was paying the price in his own body on the tree, on the cross there. And you think of what he says. And it's like what Moses, he went straight to God, didn't he? And he pled for them. And what does the Lord say when he was on the cross with those nails through his hands and through his feet and through that crown of thorn which was hit upon his head, and he had blood streaming down his body, I'm sure, and his back was ploughed like a field and put on that rugged cross, and he was probably struggling to breathe. And what does he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a Savior. This is God's man. Sundry times, different ways, and different. He spoke to us during the prophets, and we've got pictures of the gospel here. But the Lord Jesus Christ was God's man, the one he raised up, the one he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But he's also our Redeemer. He paid the price. He satisfied God's righteous and holy demands that we might be forgiven. Isn't it wonderful? How could we reject such a gospel? That we might be forgiven. And that's not all. That's not all. It's saved for eternity. And heirs together with Christ Jesus. These scriptures are wonderful to think that not are we just forgiven and let off. Phew. But he's going to, Ephesians 2, he's going to lift us to heavenly places, and he's going to show the exceeding riches of his glory and grace in the ages to come. Not only forgiven, but all that mercy that has been shown, and the grace as well in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I say, these pictures fall short in the Old Testament, but they're just types and shadows concerning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I do hope and trust that we understand that clearly. 1 Timothy 2:25, as I've quoted already, there is one God. I hope that's very clear, that there is one God. Three persons, three personalities, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, just as your three sat there, body, soul, and spirit. We spoke about that before here. But there is one God and one mediator between man and God, the man, Christ Jesus. Do you know, I say God departed, didn't he? And people say, where is God? Where is God? Do you know, it happens with my family, my daughters and son-in-laws, and my son. We use my son as the example. You know, people in our little business, they want to talk to me. Now, it's because I'm out of touch. This is not the case with God, but it's out of touch. But I go and say, go and speak to Sam. He's the one on the ground. He's the one that knows. Go and speak to my son. And that's what God is saying. He said, you make much of my son. You go to my son and let him plead. And just think, he pleads for us before the throne of God. Our only way to him is through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did we say? This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. That's the way he's communicated to us. And the time is ticking down. If you do not genuinely know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, and I say that, I don't know all your situation, and I say it lovingly and kindly, there's going to church, there's church going and church attendance, and it's a lovely community, and I know some of the folk here, they're lovely people, but it's not about that, it's about knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and being part of the church. It's not the building, the church is the ecclesia, the people, to be part of his. Let him, he's pleaded for you already, but just accept it. Aaron and Miriam, they didn't run off, did they? They didn't say, oh no, blow that, and not, that's it, we've got leprosy, end of, or she's got leprosy. No, they realized their situation and their peril. And I've got to mention it because I'd be amiss not to. There is a hell, and there is a lake of fire. And death and hell, we read in Revelation, is cast into the lake of fire. That's God's judgment. That wasn't even meant for mankind. That was meant for the demonic forces and Satan and so on. It wasn't meant for mankind. But that's what we're choosing if we reject his man, the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope this has been simple and straightforward, and I've completely gone off of what I had written here, but you get the idea. It is the basically what I had written, but in a different way. I just pray that you may understand the gospel clearly. Now, we're going to close this part of the service now, and then we'll hand over to Barry to do the breaking of bread. I'll just pray first, and then we'll sing the next hymn. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this occasion that we can open the scriptures, and we can see in the scriptures pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we just pray, if there's anyone here that hasn't yet trusted the Lord Jesus as their Saviour, hasn't realised that they need him as Saviour, that they may do so before it's too late. Father, we know the time is ticking towards our grave. We know that. We can see that. If we go through a graveyard, we know that's 70 or thereabouts. Father, but we know that thy Son is returning again soon. And we know that offer of salvation will be over and closed. We thank thee for thy grace in, as it were, not necessarily extending it. But we know it is thy will that all men should come to the knowledge of salvation and trust in the Saviour. And Father, we just pray that might be the case here today, if there is anybody. And then equally, if there's any of us that need encouragement to preach the gospel, to tell others, to be brave and bold, to tell others that perhaps we work with or see or whatever, family members, help us to realise the urgency and also to be able to express the love that has been shown to us in the person of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his sacrifice there. So, Father, we just pray you would help us and bless the next part of the meeting as well, we pray, in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.